Canto 7, Chapter 1. The Supreme Lord is equal unto everyone. The king said, "How could the Supreme Lord, being loved as a friend, equally disposed towards all living beings, O Brahmin, in support of Indra, kill the demons as if he would be partial? Being of the highest bliss and free from the material modes, there is for him absolutely no personal need to side with the enlightened community or fear and fight the demons. O glorious one, can you please remove the great doubt that thus has risen in us concerning the qualities of Narayana?" The Honorable Rishi said, "What an excellent question to ask, O great king! Because of the wonderful activities of the Lord that are sung by the leading souls of piety, the sages headed by Narada, we see more and more the glories and devotion of his devotees. I will discuss with you all the topics relating to the Lord, but let me first offer my obeisances to Krishna's greatest sage, Vyasadeva. Even though he is free from the modes, unborn and unmanifest, the Supreme Lord, transcendental to the material world, enters the material qualities of his illusory energy in the form of the guna avatars Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, and accepts obligations and responsibilities. The qualities of sattva, rajas and tamas belong to material nature and not to the spirit soul, O king. For the spiritual self, there is no question of their combined prominence or decay, the on and off of the fickleness one has with material things. According to the time of their prevalence, one with the mode of sattva, goodness, finds the devas and the rishis, the gods and sages. With the mode of rajas, passion, one encounters asuras, the unenlightened ones, and with the mode of tamas, inertia, one is faced with yakshas and rakshasas, ghosts and demons. The way one knows fire as residing in other elements like wood, the sages, the expert knowers, perceive the supersoul as present within themselves, and this divine self is not visible when one looks at all appearances in the outer world. When he desires to create material bodies for the living entities, the Supreme One manifests them on the basis of his creative potency in the mode of passion. Desiring to engage in different bodies, he is of the nature of goodness, and when the Lord is about to put an end to it all, he, in accordance with that quality of destruction, engages the mode of ignorance. O ruler of man, the true cause, that is the male principle, the original unmanifest foundation of matter, pradhana, is the primal expanding movement of time as the fourth dimension, which forms the shelter of the Lord to meditate upon. O king, also being this authentic notion of time, the Supreme Lord of name and fame increases, in the mode of goodness, the numbers of enlightened souls, and is consequently, as the friend of the demigods, inimical to and destructive with the unenlightened souls, the materialists, who are ruled by passion and ignorance. Concerning this, in the past, upon the request of King Yudhishthira, the man without enemies, the following story was lovingly told by the great sage of enlightenment, Narada, at the grand sacrifice. The king, the son of Pandu, after having seen how, at the great offering called Rajasuya, the king of Chedi, Shishupala, so wondrously had merged into the Supreme Personality of Vasudeva, had, as the ruler, wonder-stricken at the sacrifice, before all the sages listening, asked Narada, who sat there, the following question. Yudhishthira had said, "Oh, how wonderful, and for sure difficult to achieve for even the transcendentalists, is the attainment of Shishupala behaving so hostile towards Vasudeva, the Supreme Absolute Truth. We all would like to know how this could happen, O sage. From insulting the Lord, Vena was sent to hell by the Brahmins. That sinful son of Dhammaghosha fostered, from his earliest prattle to his last days, anger towards Govinda, just as did the evil-minded Dantavakra, his brother. No white leprosy appeared on their tongues, nor did they land in the darkness of hell because of their repeated offences against Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Brahman. How could they, for everyone to see, so easily find absorption in the Supreme Lord whose supreme position is so hard to attain? My intelligence concerning this matter is as fickle as a candle flickering in the wind. Please, O man of all fortune, tell us more about the particular cause of this great wonder. The son of Vyasa said, after hearing the words of the king asking questions in the midst of the assembly, Narada, the greatest among the sages, felt satisfied and addressed him about the topics. Sri Narada said, this body, subject to insults, praise, honor and dishonor, is the product of a lack of discrimination between the primal state of material nature, Pradhana, and the supreme position of the transcendental witness, O King. O earthly ruler, because of this, the living beings in this world suffer from the misconception of I and mine, just as from the reproach and punishment associated with it. Living with this false conception, one thinks that the destruction of bodies is the same as the destruction of living beings. The misconception, including the reproach and the fear for punishment, is there not because of him, but because of being without him, him who is the beatitude of detachment and emancipation in person. How could there, from his side, the side of the soul of all, the supreme one and highest control, be any question of violence, mentally and physically? Therefore, whether one is of a constant enmity, of devotion, of fear, of affection, or of lusty desires, one must manage to stay connected and not care about anything else. The absorption in him, though, attained by someone in enmity might not be the same as the absorption attained by someone in devotional service. That is my definite opinion. A larva, checked by a bee in a comb, may be filled with anxiety and resentment, but because of that bee attain the same form. Just the same, one may, like Shishupala and Dantavakra with Krishna, who as the Supreme Lord assumed a human form, even be freed from one's sins by constantly thinking of him in enmity. Moved by lust, hatred, fear, affection and devotion, many who united their mind in the Lord consequently gave up on sin and thus attained their destination. O King, the gopis realized this by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupala and other kings by their hatred, Krishna's family members by their kinship, you Pandavas by your affection for him, and we through our bhakti. Not to be someone like Vena, who could not adopt any of these five forms of respect in regard of the original person, one must fix one's mind on Krishna in one of these ways. Shishupala and Dantavakra, the sons of your maternal aunt, O Pandava, were incarnations of the two exalted attendants of Vishnu, Jaya and Vijaya, who, because of a curse of the Brahmins, the Kumaras, fell from grace. Sri Yudhishthira said, who pronounced that curse, and what kind of curse was that? It is difficult to believe that such a thing might happen to a servant of the Lord. How can it be that those exclusively devoted to him have to take another birth? Those who reside in Vaikuntha are not concerned with a material body, material senses, or a material life. Please describe how they could be bound to a physical body. Sri Narada said, "One day it happened that the sons of Brahma, Sanandana and the others, the Kumaras, traveling around the three worlds, arrived at the place where Vishnu resides. When they, Jaya and Vijaya, saw them approaching, who, despite being born before the ancients of the universe, looked like boys of 5 or 6 years old, the two guards thought they were naked children and denied them access. And so they, full of anger, cursed them. 'Oh, you two unworthy souls, residing at the feet of the slayer of Madhu, it is most sinful not to be free from passion and ignorance, and therefore, O fools, you will soon hereafter be born from the womb of an unenlightened mother.' Thus being cursed to fall down from their abode, the merciful sages also said to them, 'May it be so that after three births you turn back to your abode.' The two were thereafter born as the sons of Diti, and by the Daityas and Danavas honored as Hiranyakashipu, the older brother, and Hiranyaksha, the younger one. Hiranyakashipu was killed by the Lord appearing in the form of a lion, Lord Nrisimhadev, and Hiranyaksha was killed by him when he, in the form of a boar, had appeared to uplift the world, Lord Varaha. Hiranyakashipu, desirous to kill his son Prahlada, the beloved devotee of Keshava, tried different ways of torture to cause his death. But since his son was protected by the power of the Supreme Lord, him, the soul, in all living beings who is peaceful and equal towards all, he, with all the might he displayed, could not kill him. Next, the two demons, with the names of Ravana and Kumbhakarna, took their birth from Keshini as the sons of Vishrava and caused a lot of trouble to all the people. In order to relieve the two of the curse, thereupon Ramachandra manifested himself and killed them. You will hear about the exploits of Rama from the mouth of Markandeya, my best. In their third birth, the two were born in this world as Kshatriya sons, as Shishupala and Dantavakra, to your aunt. They are now freed from the curse by Krishna, who destroyed their sins with his chakra. The gatekeepers of Vishnu, by meditating in a bond of intense hatred, managed to get near Hari again and find absorption in the essence of the infallible Lord. Sri Yudhishthira said, "How could there, with Hiranyakashipu, be such a hatred for that great soul, his own son? Please tell me, O Supreme Sage, how Prahlada managed to develop such an attachment to Achyuta, the infallible Lord?"